This morning, we're going back to the first part of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, because this ties in with the season of Epiphany. And I'll be reading from, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, about authority. And I invite you to listen and listen for any words that particularly speak to you or you think speak to our congregation. Let us listen for the word of God. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. So what did you hear? Anything that stood out for you this morning? Shannon? A new teaching with authority. Authority. What does that mean? And that was my key verse. A new teaching with authority. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Imagine this. A young associate minister got her chance to preach while the senior minister was on vacation, and she spoke with eloquence and power, not at all what the people expected from the fill-in preacher. But then that mentally disturbed man burst into the sanctuary, yelling and carrying on, making the ladies cringe and causing even the babies to cry out. The ushers quickly gathered in back and began walking toward the disturbed man. But the young associate stopped her sermon, hurried down the aisle, and took the man by his hand. The disturbed man, for the first time, focused his attention on who was before him. "I know you. You're one of those holy people. You can't stand people like me. You wish I didn't exist." But the young associate just looked him in the eye. Decent people don't usually look at a disturbed person in the eye. But there she stood, gazing into his eyes, holding his hand. "Shh," she said, "be still. Let go of your anger. Let go of your confusion. Let go of your fear. Shh." To the surprise of the ushers, to the surprise of the congregation, the man visibly relaxed. You could almost see something emptying out of him, and a calmness. No, a peace seemed to fill first him then the ushers, then everyone in the sanctuary. And after the service, as people gathered and gossiped, you could hear, "Did you see what she did? That could have been a disaster. How embarrassing." But the presence of our associate, her authority, how did she know what to say, what to do? Man, am I impressed. You know what the talk of the town was that week, don't you? Authority. What is it? Where does it come from? Who has it and who doesn't? You can probably answer that last question for yourself. You can just see authority, whether you know what it is or not. In the Bible, ultimate authority always belongs to God. But God gives provisional authority to whomever God chooses. Prophets, kings, priests, even Satan, we are told in the Bible. Authority designates who exercises power over others. The power to govern, the power to destroy, the power to lead, the power to coerce, the power to influence, and the power to heal. All authority comes from God. Do you believe this? The Bible tells us very clearly. How many truly believe that all authority on earth comes from God? Sometimes it's hard. In the Gospel of Mark, immediately after being baptized by John, Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, we're told. Jesus then walked along the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, sons of Zebedee. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And in our scripture this morning, Jesus entered the synagogue in his hometown, Capernaum, and taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We understand that the scribes taught by quoting other authorities of the past, of course, often arranging them according to their own agenda. But Jesus spoke of God as if he had some kind of special knowledge, some kind of special relationship, an experience with God, and thus some kind of special power or authority. And the people were astounded. Just then, a mentally disturbed man broke into the gathering in the synagogue, yelling and carrying on, making the ladies cringe and causing even the babies to cry out. "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Shh, be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. The people were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." A new teaching with authority. Following his baptism, Jesus immediately faced the temptations of Satan with authority. Jesus called the disciples with a simple invitation, but with authority. Jesus taught with authority that the kingdom of God has come near, and he showed real examples of the kingdom, especially in his healing ministry. That's how he became the light of the world. Even spirits and demons recognized Jesus and responded to his authority. He didn't hurt the demons, but he did silence them and expelled them from their host. Jesus had authority. That was the first evidence that the kingdom of God was indeed near. But does Jesus have authority today? You tell me. Does Jesus have authority over our decision-making today? Is Jesus giving authority to our nation, our leaders, our religious leaders, even those who claim his moral authority? How does Jesus influence our state and national leaders? How does Jesus influence my decisions? How does Jesus influence your decisions? Do you believe that Jesus speaks for God in the Gospels when he tells us that the kingdom of God is near and that you can live in the kingdom today? You can make kingdom decisions today? Do you believe it? Do you practice it? What kingdom do you serve? Do you know what kingdom living still offers to you today? Kingdom living offers you authority to withstand the temptations of Satan. Kingdom living offers you the authority to be a leader, to invite people to follow you into the kingdom, into fishing for people instead of fish, hopefully in addition to fish. Kingdom living offers you authority to teach what you have learned about God and God's kingdom. Kingdom living offers you authority to cast out those demons of selfishness and greed, of depression and worry, the demons of intolerance and racism and classism and nationalism, the demons of perfectionism and control, the demons of hurt, addiction, victimization, of unforgiveness, of living in the past. So many of these are kingdom spiritual issues. Kingdom living sets you free to live and be who God created you to be in the image of God, as we saw earlier, far more than you've ever imagined possible. No matter your age or schooling or connections in the church or community, and it all begins with authority. Authority from your relationship with God. And it's your choice. Either you choose to live it or not. Either you live with authority and by authority when you face those temptations and the demons of this world, or you don't. Either you choose to live with the authority of the Holy Spirit, which has been given to you at your baptism, or you don't. Either you choose to live with God's Spirit and God's call to you. You too are a son or daughter, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Or you don't. You see, Jesus came to live on earth in relationship with God. That is what gave Jesus authority. That's how Jesus became the light of the world, of all the world. He knew God. not just knew of God or about God. He gave people a glimpse of God because he walked with God. God lived in him and through him, and that was Jesus' authority. When people saw Jesus, they saw God. And that goes for even the demons and the Gentiles too. Even Satan, we're told. So what do people see in you and me? It's your choice. Come live with God, live with the authority of the Holy Spirit, and don't live without it anymore. Take home question. Are you ready to know God, not just know of God or about God? And how will you let God know that? Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for your promises, for the gifts you've already given us. As we learn, you put a bit of you in each of us, right at the beginning of your plan. You have entrusted us with your Spirit, with your love, with the gifts of the Spirit, and with so many elements of beauty and wholeness to enrich our lives and to enrich this good creation that you have made. Oh God, we thank you for choosing us to be your partners, working for your plan, the work of Christmas for 2026 and beyond. Guide us as First Christian Church. Guide us as individuals, O God. Give us the authority of relationship with you to live this life fully, in service and in Jesus' name. Amen.